Hey everybody, this is Alex Merced from alexmerced.com, or you can go to alexmercedlibertarian.com if you're here for my libertarian meanderings, which this episode will be about. So basically today we, so far off the top of my head, I know of two sort of major Supreme Court decisions, one regarding religion and funding for schools, and two guns. Okay, so basically, the first decision, as I understand it, basically says that any kind of restrictions on guns must kind of basically stick to the standard of like the traditional standard of gun. Basically, it really makes a lot of gun control kind of, and especially like newer types of gun control, sort of not a thing. And you know, at the end of the day, like I'll come back to the whole like you know, gun issue. What I'm more upset about is like people keep using like this whole sort of two different arguments. Like one, well, we have restrictions on free speech. Well, yes, there are restrictions on free speech, but they're not necessarily like for, well, let me just put it this way. When you don't need to get a license to talk. Okay. Yes, you can get in trouble for saying certain things in certain places, but nowhere does it say, nowhere do you have to ask permission to do the thing. You don't have to, you do not need permission to talk. Okay. You have the right to speak. Now, of course, there are consequences for saying certain things in certain places, but you having the right to do it is assumed, and then in very, very small set of circumstances, you are punished when you make some poor decisions. Although, so again, the difference there is like the fact that you have the ability to do X is assumed first. When you do a gun license, like say, okay, hey, just to possess a firearm, just to own a firearm, you need to have a license. You're assuming that you can only have the right to own a thing, not to shoot a thing, not to just to own a thing. That means you haven't done anything wrong just by owning it, by having it in your possession. You haven't hurt anybody. You need to get permission. Okay, and that's definitely very different. Even if there is no gun control, let's say, it would still be illegal to fire a gun in a crowded theater or literally like in any kind of public space. Okay, so again, the fact that hey, when you misuse your rights and you take action and you cause potential harm to others, that's going to be punishable, or you know, basically breaking the law, regardless of whether you have gun control or not. Like that's basically what the conversation here is: should the fact that you will do something bad be assumed, and then you have to make the case for why you won't, which is like basically, hey, I need permission to own a thing. And people go, well, people need, you know, licenses to drive. You don't, or license to own a car. You don't need a license to own a car. Okay, you need a license to drive on public roads. Like if you bought a car and then did wheelies in your back lawn, you'd be totally fine. You don't need a license for that. The license is to drive on public roads, and that's probably what would happen even if all like people say, like, well, you know, if all rides were privatized, there'd probably be some sort of like permission process to make sure that you are able to drive on those private roads. So like, you know, like the way car licenses work are pretty much probably how they would work if everything was privatized. Like same thing with like how a lot of other things are handled. Like people think that like if you like I'm all for privatizing all the things, but how different that world would look like isn't as different, I think, as everyone thinks it would be. Like I think it's overstated. Not that it isn't desirable. There are still definitely lots of benefits, and it's good to be having a more flexible world that we can adapt faster. But yeah, point is like there's a difference when you say, hey, you cannot own a thing until you prove you won't do something stupid with it. Like that's then you are like assume then it's like basically you're not. It's not a restriction of rights. Like again, the restriction of like on free speech is not a restriction of your ability to speak. You can speak, but there are consequences when you make certain acts. But the idea is like they don't sew your mouth up, sew your mouth up until you know, get a piece of paper. So I always find that comparison and that analogy really frustrating. And then again, the whole muskets thing. Like, you know, like, yes, there are much more dangerous weapons, true, now. But trust me, like, probably 1,000 years from now, people are going to look at our nukes and assault rifles and be like, you know, look at them like they are muskets. Like, you know, that's just the natural trend of history. And to be like, okay, well, you should throw everything out with the bathwater because things change. And again, I'm someone who generally leans very comfortably to saying like, hey, you know, institutions do need to change and culture needs to change and things like that over time. Like that's natural. But I just don't, that's not in itself a sufficient argument to say, hey, you should take people's ability to do things just because, you know, things are different now. Technology's better now. Okay, I mean, you could technically make the right, you can make the same case with like free speech, and I bet you some people could. It's like, well, I know the forefathers didn't imagine that you could, you know, go post on Twitter and have the whole world see it. So if they weren't worried about like, you know, how much you could broadcast the most horrible things you can say, because hey, you know, that happens. Like now the ability to broadcast something, some really stupid and heinous stuff that people say is greater than ever. In the same way people's ability to do damage with weapons is greater. I mean, everything is magnified for the good and the worse. That's just the natural sort of trends of technology and progress. That's just how things go. Okay. But far as like, is there like an issue? Yeah. But I mean, a lot of this has to do, and then the thing is that like, I hate it when also when people say like it's a mental health issue, because that's still not getting at it. Like, it's not, people act like just people just like, you know, there are to some extent, yes, there's people who are born with sort of imbalances, but oftentimes like a lot of like mental health issues, and this is, it's become such a catch-all term, has a lot to do with sort of like your experiences in your life. And this can have a lot to do with sort of like, hey, you know, not having much of a support system. So, you know, a lot of people like they feel like isolated and alone, which kind of drives them to do certain things. And that can be alleviated if we had, you know, and I know people would just be like, oh, you want to save kids with a better economy, but no, just follow me here for a second. The idea is if you take a look at like all the things we lose out because we have bad economic policies that basically force us to be like less efficient, which means more of us have to work more time, which means we're not in our communities, we're not with our children, we're not in our families, we're not that time with social people interacting and caring about each other does have an effect on, you know, sort of our mental health. And we have become more disconnected as a world. I think the internet has done a good job of doing the opposite and making us more connected, being able to connect with people from far away when there may not be people nearby. But at the same time, it's also allowed us to get into silos. You know, it's always, there's no magic, you know, fixes everything kind of solution. But the idea is we do need to fix a lot of the policies that have allowed sort of like the everyday society, that everyday community to just kind of exist, that helps nurture people to, so that way they don't become violent. Does that mean you're going to get rid of all? No, there's always going to be, you know, those the occasional person who just like they're gonna do it, like that's gonna happen. It's happened in the past, but it's greater now because a lot of those circumstances, a lot of the context in which a lot of people are growing up in is in a much more situation where they people grew up in a lot more, I would say, isolated kind of way. That can lead to sort of like a kind of disconnect reality. It has nothing to do with like, hey, this does not mean that we should start like restricting the rights of people who are declared to have any kind of mental health issue. Because like mental health again is a big category, and just lots of people have mental health, and the vast majority of them are violent, so we shouldn't necessarily start curtailing rights. But the idea is we should start thinking about the environment that people exist in and how we can make the environment better. And that just means like a more nurturing environment. And for people to be nurturing, they have to have time, which means they do need to have. And then the thing is that if you are not sort of in an economically stable place, you're not going to be able to afford time to be part of your community and your family, which means you do need better economic policies. Okay, so that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying like, hey, we need to all be in each other's lives more. Okay, but to be in each other's lives more, we need to allow for a world with more robust opportunities which does require, like, again, more an economy that lets capital flow more freely, people more flow more freely, ideas flow more freely. Okay, now on the second issue of like religion and schools, like I'm not a particularly religious person. I'm not particularly a gun owner either. So I'm not, you know, I'm not someone who's like, hey, like go take a look at my, you know, 10 rifles. I'm not that person who's like going to any kind of service on a weekly basis. But last I checked, the Constitution basically says no law. Oh, I forgot to have the wording like 2 seconds ago. But basically, you can't compel people to practice a particular religion. That's just, or to establish a particular religion. That doesn't necessarily mean th like the difference between like, the point is to prevent people from controlling how other people practice their faith and what is their faith. So the fact that someone says, hey, you know what, I have money that's going to my kid's education and I'd rather it go to a school of my choosing is not the federal government making a choice or establishing any particular religion. Because a Muslim family, a Jewish family, a satanic family, they can all make it the choice to go to an institution that matches, that's in line with their beliefs. So it's neutral. So I do think the Supreme Court kind of made the right decision here. Now I do share the concerns where you have like more fundamentalist sects of certain religions. They create these schools where they may not get the same kind of education or kind of like connection with the broader society for them to necessarily contribute in the same way, in a sense, but that's not my call. It's like, it's not like this is like with a lot of the issues lately. Like, it's not my, I don't get to decide how other people raise their kids. Now, I have a lot of belief that, you know, parents should love their kids regardless of who they are. That basically the number one thing parents can do is just really just like nurture and love their kids. And that really will make, and again, set healthy boundaries with their kids in the sense of like, you know, making sure that the, you know, they know when to be polite to others and whatnot. Not, you know, things like violence towards children, ostracizing children, hitting children. I kind of said that twice. You know, kicking children out and for who they are. Like those are things that like I think are bad parenting. And now the violence part like that yes, you should go to jail if you hit your kid. Well, you should go to jail if you beat your kids. But again, if you're mean to your kids, that's shitty and you shouldn't do that. But that's how you decide to raise your kids. That's unfortunate. Same thing with like if you want to raise them and not educate them in a particular way, that's your choice. It's probably a shitty choice if you try to restrict the amount of information available to them, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's not your choice. As much it might personally frustrate me, I don't want you to then force me to make the decisions you would want. Okay, I don't want you to force me to have to educate any future children the way you educate yours, or treat my children the way you treat yours. And the only way I can make sure that you don't have the power to use it over me is for me not to exercise that same power over you. Like that's really what it fundamentally comes down to. It's mutually assured oppression the minute we start saying one group can't do X. Okay, so yes, the federal government cannot favor a particular side, but again, it's not, this is not like the government saying I'm going to specifically allocate funds to this religion, that religion. It's just saying that, you know, first for states that may have like a voucher program, whatever you think of voucher programs, I understand, like, you know, again, I'm not here to get into like sort of like the size of this particular issue. If the school is going to say, hey, you can take your money to wherever you want to educate your children, there's no difference whether it's religion. It's not like, again, the state is not establishing a particular religion or you know, people can do it to any school. So there's no reason why it should. I don't see any kind of conflict there. Again, the separation of religion and state doesn't necessarily mean that everything has to, you know, basically a US dollar cannot go to any religious institution ever. In under no circumstances, but I mean, as a general point, it should not force people to practice any religion. It should not steer people to practice any particular religion. It should not recognize any religion as a national religion. But again, like let's say you have like, you know, a contractor. Like let's say the church gets into contracting to build buildings and they get a contract. Like I'm not gonna care. It's not making me practice any religion. If they were the best for us for the contract, I'm not gonna care. Like, I'm, you know, people can talk about the bad and the good that's come out of different religions at different times in history, but at the end of the day, like, if I don't want people controlling how I think, how I speak, how I live my life, I can't go out of my way to go control theirs. So I think that for the most part, like, from the way I understand both Supreme Court decisions, they're the right decision. I understand how, like, how controversial they are because a lot of states have been going to their policy. And, like, at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm not a states' right absolutist. I'm a individual rights absolutist. So to the extent that the federal government abbreviates individual rights, I do think states have a duty to push against that. But to the extent that states push against individual rights, I do think I'm not horribly against the federal government pushing against that. To the extent that any level of government pushes against individual rights, I'm for other levels of government over making efforts to override that. So I'm for, you know, a competitive governance where individualism is sort of like the key principle. So in that case, like, overall, so far, all right. I think people are again focusing on the wrong things, and generally most of these issues anyways, because at the end of the day, like, it comes back to, like, again, that community. And the problem is, like, a lot of people who, like, talk about community and family, like, they talk about, like, some sort of idealized form of community and family and say, well, yeah, we need more community. And then they say, well, the community has to look like this. The family has to look like this. And that's still the wrong approach. Like, the bottom line is people just need more people who care about them in their lives. It doesn't matter what your community looks like or how it's organized and what your family looks like and what it's organized. If you have more people who care about you in your life, who are there to be nurturing and guide you as you enter the world, to me, that's always better than not having those things. Okay? And, you know, there's no perfect mix. And again, there's no perfect formula. It's just, to the extent that we can, we just need to all be there for each other more. And a lot of these problems will fix them. And then again, good economic policy would also help just, you know, make that a little bit easier to achieve, because more people will be in a better place. So that's my thoughts on this. Have a great day and enjoy.